7:37 on a Monday afternoon on the mighty 790 KFGO. And since it is Monday at 4:37 p.m. Central Time, that means it is time to check in with our great friend from Bismarck, North Dakota. His name is Clay Jenkinson. He is a director of the Dakota Institute. He is an author. He is a scholar. And he writes a Sunday column for the Bismarck Tribune. Mr. Clay Jenkinson, how are you, my friend? I haven't talked to you for a while.
Good day to you. It's been, we missed a week last week because I had a symposium. The sun is setting here on the Western Great Plains, and it's a beautiful November day.
It is. It's a wonderful time of the year. And let me start here. I want to get to your column in Sunday's Bismarck Tribune. I thought it was a great piece about the effect of the failure so far of Obamacare and how it goes beyond just what's happening today into what could really affect American politics for a long time going forward. But before we get to that, the big statewide story in North Dakota today, Clay, is the two white supremacists in Leith, North Dakota, have been arrested and charged with terrorizing because they're walking down one of the streets in Leith, North Dakota, carrying weapons. You could see this coming, I think, that these two guys, Craig Cobb and his sidekick, were not the brightest bulbs in the box, and they weren't major players in the white supremacist movement, if there even is much of a white supremacist movement. But this should get these guys out of our hair and out of Leith's hair for a good long time, and that's nothing but a good thing, I would think, correct?
Yes, I would say that. I was in Leith yesterday. I took a little trip down towards Carson and Flasher and Leith, and I went through the town, and it was as quiet as any little almost ghost town can be. And, you know, you hate to see this happen to a small rural village that's been minding its own business in slow decline. On the other hand, you know, terrorizing, that's a pretty big term, I think, for what these guys were doing.
So do you disagree with law enforcement then that they, you think this is a trumped up bunko charge, or what do you think about
this? No, I don't think it's trumped up, but I think that, you know, first they were going to deny them water and sewer, and then they, you know, zoning, and then this and that. And I'm not in favor of these guys, don't get me wrong. I think that they're appalling. But, you know, I do think that we have overreacted to their stupidity. I think there are a couple of lunkheads, that this isn't going to go very far, that we've fed this too much. And now I think that if you know, somebody vandalized their home and vehicle, that's no good, I think. And I just think if you pile it on too much, even though I am 100% disagreed with their view of the world and the way they behave, I feel like you then create a counter-martyr energy going, and I just, the whole thing just rubs me the wrong way. I wish that they would just please leave.
But I'm not sure they were going to.
No, but I'm not sure that, I mean, look, North Dakotans loudly demand the right to carry guns on every occasion. I mean, if there's any state that is nutty about the Second Amendment, we are it. And suddenly we're now arresting these guys on a terrorism charge, a terrorizing charge, because they were walking around with guns? I mean, what exactly are we telling ourselves? If these were two non-white supremacists who had been arrested for terrorizing, for walking in Harvey or New Rockford with guns, the whole state would be up in arms that this is some sort of a terrible anti-Second Amendment persecution.
So then what would you have had the people of Leith or enforcement authorities do?
I'm going to trust the cops. You know, terrorizing probably means they weren't just walking with concealed weapons. I don't know the whole story, but I tell you this, it makes me uneasy. When I heard that they were vandalized, it made me very uneasy, and I'm sure it did you.
Well, no, and I agree with that was the wrong thing for anybody to do, was to give these two, as you said, knuckleheads, any sort of reason for people to give them sympathy. And I think that, in all honesty, we the media have been part and parcel to this in some ways, because you know, this Cobb guy was never a big player in any sort of national movement. He's a loser. His sidekick's an even bigger loser. And I think in some ways we fed the beast. And I'll be guilty of that. I've talked about it on this program as well.
But I've written about it a little. I think we have fed the beast. You know, I think these are really low-level wannabes, and that we've given it more than it deserves. And I think we have to pay attention to it, because obviously it's a story, and I don't blame the media for doing what it does. But I've seen this on the front page, upper fold of the Bismarck Tribune now for about 6 weeks. And I think, who's really gaining by that? Because if you go to Leith, it's just this tiny little blip They're gravel roads. There isn't a paved road in Leith. The people of Leith are just quiet American citizens going about their lives. And I think if you overfeed this, you create more than you try to tamp down.
Or if you send these guys away to prison for a while, then they don't come back, and then the problem goes away.
Or they do come back with flamethrowers. sure shooting, they'll come back in a bad mood. Look, I don't know what to do. I'm going to trust the cops. I'm sure you do, too.
I'm going to take a phone call here from Steve in Bismarck. Steve, you are on with Clay Jenkinson on the Mike McFeely Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, Clay, I think it was in the Fargo Forum article today that they stated the vandalism they think was done by a former member that lived with them. So it's all fabricated to try the poor me defense that somebody's picking on me. In fact, it went on to say that that guy is living in a homeless shelter in Bismarck right now.
Oh, and he had enough money to buy a can of paint. This is exactly the problem because a disaffected former low-level white supremacist has created a fake incident to build some public sympathy. The whole thing is
the vandalism was not done by people the way it sounds to me, and it was reported in the Fargo Forum, so I assume that is
good
true.
Good information. Thank you.
Yeah, and I hadn't seen that either, Steve, so thanks very much for that. But, yeah, and I, again, I, the, my trouble is, Clay, is I think that I look at these two schmucks, and that's exactly what they are. They're just two schmucks walking around Leith, North Dakota, and I have no sympathy for them. And so
me
maybe,
either.
And so maybe that's my emotion looking at it more from a, just get these guys out of here. Get them away from anybody or everybody and just let's move on with our lives. And so maybe I don't mind the authorities overstepping their bounds and charging these guys with terrorism. And I'm not saying that they're doing that, but if that's what they did, hey, it's one method to get these two losers off the streets in North Dakota.
Yeah, right? I agree with you. I just want the whole thing to go. I guess I just have two things to say to that. I think that I'm a First Amendment guy and sort of a libertarian. So I think if you want to be a dumb, really idiotic white supremacist and you don't terrorize anyone, you have every right to do so. And it bothers me that we have kind of a thought police attitude towards that. And the second thing I've said to you before, if these guys were radical environmentalists, they would have been drummed out of the state on day one. And so I just feel that there's hypocrisy floating around in some of this. And it's kind of a Mayberry overreaction. I think if we had never said a word that this would not have come to public attention in any significant way.
Well, and one more thing, I'll let it go, we'll move on. But if we would have just waited until December or January when these two guys were living in a home with no running water, no sewer, no heat, and it was 13 below in Leith, North Dakota on January 12th, I'm going to take a crazy guess, Clay, that they would have tried to move their movement and their pretend white supremacist town to, I don't know, Arizona
Tampa.
Or Tampa or West,
Mike,
or West Texas somewhere.
Give them a widescreen TV and heat and air conditioning. Have you lived in Leith over the winter?
Exactly right. I'll need to take a break. When we return, I want to talk about a column that Clay wrote in Sunday's Bismarck Tribune. We have reached the home stretch of the Mike McFeely Show on this Monday afternoon, continuing our conversation with Clay Jenkinson. And you'll love this text message that came in for you, Clay. It says, Mike, I could not agree more with Clay. When is he running for governor or president?
Hey.
Does he need some help on his campaign staff?
Finally. Finally. Tell this fellow that if he has $60 million, I am tan, rested, and ready. And you could, and you know what? I'd make you my press secretary.
Oh, that would work out
now,
well
Now, you're
for
more
you.
Liberal than I am. I'm more of a centrist. But we'd work it out. You know, I'm sure that for the right incentives, you could be muzzled.
Yeah, the incentives would equal zeros on the end of my paycheck.
I'd let you fish every afternoon.
Oh, then I'm in.
Yeah, you could fish on Oahu where we have real fish.
Wait a second now. Now, this is a... I've had people ask me this question, Clay, so I'll ask you on the air.
Yes.
In all seriousness, I've had people ask me, have you ever considered running for public office?
Yes. I get asked from time to time by people who don't know better. and I'll tell you this, Mike, I think about it sometimes, because if I could snap my fingers and be governor, if I could snap my fingers and be a U.S. senator, I would do it, of course. But here's the problem. A, I've had an actual life and have left a paper trail, and if you want to go through my paper trail, I wouldn't last 24 hours. And I can just see the television ad with me dressed up like Thomas Jefferson saying, so this is the next governor of North Dakota, a guy who dresses in tights?
Yeah, and I've, you know, people have asked me if I'm ever going to run for office in my life, and I say, you know, do you ever listen to my program in the afternoons? If you go back in the archives of the Fargo Forum, there's way too much evidence there to ever allow me to run for dog catcher of Oakport Township.
You and I are in the same position. See, the people that are smart, like Supreme Court justices, leave no paper trail so that when they get appointed and confirmed, no one can say on such and such a date, Hugh McFeely wrote that the Bison were the greatest team in the world and that no other team in the human history deserves to be, you know, and suddenly that comes back to haunt you.
Every UND supporter doesn't vote for me. Then when I write that, you know, UND sucks at this, then no UND people will vote. Then I write that NDSU sucks at that. Then none of those people, I can't win either way.
I mean, you've left a long audio and paper trail, and so neither of us should ever be allowed to be anything that involves public trust.
Very quickly, Diane from Fargo. Diane, you're on with Clay. Go ahead.
I just have one little statement I want to make. If Clay runs for office, he's got my vote.
Hey, there's one.
You have one. I'd vote for you. There's two.
That's two. And the guy who wrote in. So now I've got, in North Dakota, that's close to a majority.
Well, I live in Minnesota, so I can't vote for you.
Yeah, but we'd work that out.
That'd be easy enough. You know what, Clay? We're almost out of time, so I can't even ask you about your column in Sunday's Bismarck
Tribune.
But I'll
tell this. Tell people to go to Tim Purdom, P-U-R-D-U-M, Todd Purdom, and he agrees entirely that this is going to be a debacle for the progressive movement for a generation or more.
That's not a good way to end our conversation.
It's true,
I don't like
though.
Hearing that.
We should talk about this again. But
okay, we will. Okay, Clay, thank you. Appreciate
that.
If you want to read Clay's work, go to BismarckTribune.com. And essentially, the case that he makes is what he just said right there, is that Obamacare and the rollout of it are going to haunt the progressive movement for decades. He believes it's going to be that big of a, I hate to use this word, train wreck, because it's cliched. But he doesn't believe that. We'll see if it is true or not.